And we're going to take your calls this hour with pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. That's the website I want you to go to and try to set a record to help Ben beat Doc Wallach, criticalhealthnews.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with pharmacist Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. And again, here's that toll-free number to call for assistance for information that you are hearing from Ben, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. How did you, as a registered pharmacist and nutritionist and cosmetic chemist, get interested in this, Ben? How did you have a bachelor's degree in broadcast journalism?
Yeah, interested in radio, you mean?
Everything. Everything. How'd you get interested in the topic, the subject matter?
Of nutrition?
Yeah.
Oh, well, as a bodybuilder, I was fascinated with it because I wanted to be big. You know, I was in my 20s, and I was obsessed with, like a lot of bodybuilders, with building muscle. And when you're obsessed with building muscle, you pull in every angle and take every possible approach to do it, and nutrition was huge. Creatine was big. I don't remember when all this was happening. Creatine was big, and CLA was big, and the nutrients we're talking about here today, vitamin C and zinc. You know, the body's only doing one of two things, net. It's either building up or breaking down. When we get old and when we're sick and when we're dealing with disease, we're breaking down. When we're young and when we're vital and when we're strong and resistant to diseases, we are building up. We're anabolic, technically. They call it anabolic and catabolic. Catabolic means breaking down. Anabolic means building up. Together, they make up metabolic. Your metabolism is either net in the black, that is your building, or it's net in the red, that is your breaking down. If you go to the hospital and they can measure how much you're breaking down and building up by what they call nitrogen levels and nitrogen balance. And so when we're young and strong and vital, we're building. I was obsessed with building. It's really the same thing. Building muscle, getting stronger, is the same thing as fighting diabetes and osteoporosis and degenerative disease.
What is it about the body when you age that makes it more susceptible to disease?
Lots of things. It's the accumulation, for one. It's the accumulation of bad lifestyle choices. That's probably the biggest thing. And plus, we live in a toxic environment. I mean, we live in a polluted, trashed-out environment. And ironically, I don't know if you've seen pictures of Los Angeles lately and pictures of New York City lately and pictures of various Venice and various cities that had tremendous pollution. You can see the skyline in Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, that's because there's no people anymore.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like we have lived with a baseline level of toxicity that we just consider acceptable, and then we don't make the connection between cancer and between toxicity, and we don't make the connection between degenerative diseases and toxicity and stress and toxicity. So we live in a terribly toxic environment, and that has a huge impact. It accumulates, and that leads to aging. Gravity itself leads to aging. And then aging is hardwired into the body to a certain extent. It's just that it doesn't have to be accelerated.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Lee, driving on the 15 freeway through Utah. Hey, Lee, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George, thanks for having the show. And technically, I was in Utah 30 minutes ago. Now I'm in Utah. And
I love it.
Ben, I stand behind a lot of what you say. I love nutrition. I'm 47. I haven't seen a doctor since 1994. A while back, I got hand, foot, and mouth disease, got it confirmed at the emergency room. I beat it in 5 days, quadrupled my dosage of vitamin C, D, and E.
Nice.
And in 5 days, it was completely gone. And as far as I'm aware, it's a three-week painful process for 99.9% of the population.
Good for you.
That's
awesome.
A lot of energy and strength that I feel in you, and I'm behind it. What I have a question about is you mentioned that the COVID virus, COVID-19, has a patent on it. Are you insinuating that somebody designed this virus and released it, or are you just not aware that anyone who does research on anything medically puts a patent on it so that they can have the research rights?
No, I wasn't insinuating anything. I was just saying that there are things that are associated with this virus that don't make the news. One is that there's a patent on it. Now, how many people do you think understand that there's a patent on that virus?
Now, who holds that patent? Can you say?
You might want to look into that.
You know, don't you?
Well, you might want to look. It's very fascinating.
Is it a company or an individual?
It's a very famous person.
Does it
belong with a company?
Start with his name. Start with a B.
I can't. I'm not going to say anything, George. but look it up.
Well, let me ask you this, not to delve into the mindset of the person with the patent.
Yes.
But who would want a patent on a virus?
Like Lee was pointing out, these when people do research on these things, they patent them to protect the information. It's IP.
And this is bona fide now. It's not some little fake news hoax or anything.
They're patented. This isn't the only one that's patented. There are places. It's the government is always
well. Now really to patent a virus means you have to create it.
You have to tweak it.
Right, and then you submit those papers and documents that prove that you did that through a company. I'm sure he didn't do it on his own.
No, it's not him on his own, but he's part of the company.
Do you have to list why you want it patented?
That I don't know. I don't imagine that you do. I mean, this.
I understand a company that patents its perfume or its shaving cream or something.
Same idea. Coronaviruses are patented.
Bizarre.
What's that?
It's bizarre.
It's information. It's intellectual property.
Well, and as Lee was saying, he said it's not uncommon.
No, it's not uncommon at all. It's intellectual property. They do research. They discover. They basically invented something. They basically invented a
I'm going to invent this deadly virus and patent it. What am I going to do with it?
Well, it's an interesting question, George. It's basically, there's a lot of military applications.
You opened up this can of worms, Benjamin.
I didn't want to go there. I'm trying to look on the bright side here and tell people to build the immune system and not be scared. It's fascinating, though, George.
Are you telling me there's a show here on patented viruses?
Yeah. Yes. There's definitely a show on patented viruses.
Okay.
Coronavirus patents. There's a lot of coronavirus.
All right. That we'll check into. Joe, Long Island, New York. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Comment on what you were just talking about. I have a friend that's kind of into herbs, a medical professional. She was talking about moringa. Mm. I did get it on Amazon. I just got it in the past several days, so I'm asking about that. Now, my comment would be what you were just talking about. I heard streaming music. Here's a commercial. Save humanity by going nowhere near it. We're sponsored by WHO, World Health Organization. Now, I'm thinking of that movie, Eyes Wide Shut. Mm. What were they doing in that movie? They're wearing masks.
Mm.
Interesting, huh? Stanley Kubrick. Yeah.
Well, those masks were to just hide their identity. It wasn't any microtype masks.
Well, there's a lot of psychology to a mask. You know, human beings communicate through their faces. A lot of this that's going on is separating human beings from each other. Do you see what's happening?
Sure.
It's through social distancing, through wearing masks, we can't read each other's faces. There's a lot of things that are happening here that are very subtle, but they're going to have some effects. People don't want to stand near each other. Even walking down the street, they don't want to stand near each other.
Or going down the shopping aisle if you don't have a mask. See, I don't wear a mask. Call me stupid. I don't know.
Well, you know, that's a whole... Yeah, I don't either, to tell you the truth.
But, I mean, if you walk by someone who is wearing a mask, a lot of times they will freak out.
That's right.
Turn the cart around and go the other way.
Exactly right. There's this kind of underlying fear of each other that's being promoted here. You know, they're going to have surveillance techniques, devices and technologies that will detect if people are gathering together. You know, freedom of assembly is a basic right. And we've given up our rights here in a lot. You know, George, we've given them up voluntarily. We've given up rights voluntarily. If anybody wants to take away rights and was looking for a mechanism, this is perfect.
Well, I got to tell you know, we have done conspiracy shows for years, Ben, on this program. And, you know, we have done shows on globalism, one world governments, trying to knock the United States off its feet. And we know one thing. You can't do it militarily. We're the strongest military in the world. So do it some other way. You do it economically.
You don't need to do it. Yeah, you can do it economically. George.
But I hate to think this. I hate to think that this was created to do that. I think it was created. I think, you know, it was developed in a laboratory. My gut tells me it got out accidentally. But when you look at the other things that are going on right now.
Yeah, it's too much. It's
bizarre.
There's a lot of perfection here.
You couldn't write a better script.
Exactly. So I don't. But here's the thing, George. It's very easy to fall into this stuff. But what we want to do is we want to take this crisis as an opportunity. And we want to turn it into an opportunity for making our body stronger, for becoming critical thinkers, for developing a healthy distrust of authority, for making ourselves better. And we can do it because I believe that crisis means opportunity, and the bigger the crisis, the bigger the opportunity.
Did you know that if you fly from California to Texas, you must stay in Texas for 14 days?
I did not know that.
Isn't that bizarre? I mean, if some business guy has got to come in for a quick business meeting from California, from Missouri, I can go to Texas and leave.
George, but you're not even going to be able to fly until you have your temperature taken.
That's going to happen.
Yeah. You're not even going to be able to.
That's going to happen. As you go through TSA, they're going to be there with some kind of reader on your forehead or something.
Exactly. Yeah. They're going to be able to take your temperature from a drone. Do you know in Israel, you probably know this, in Israel they have drones that check in on you. They check in to see if you're quarantining or not.
Jeez.
They check in. That's what it said. They're just checking in. You know, like, hey, how you doing? I'm a drone. I'm just here to check in on you.
Let's go to first-time caller Samuel in Greenville, North Carolina. Welcome to the show, Samuel. Thank you.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, George. Thank you for taking my call. And, Ben, it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
I was listening to the Glenn Beck show this morning. And there was a doctor on there who looks over patients and other doctors at Cedars Sinai and one other hospital. And he was saying that what he's discovered is that the antibodies that, you know, some of our more severe patients are creating are actually attacking their own organs, their vital organs. So when he sees certain signatures in these patients, he goes ahead and gives them an immune suppressant.
Wow.
And he's had tremendous success and has not lost a single patient or put a patient on a ventilator.
I'm not quite understanding what you're saying. You're saying that when he sees he's detecting an antibody response against organs in the body.
It's attacking the body of the
like
own person.
Like an autoimmune disease kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, these things can happen when the immune system makes mistakes, number one. And also there are enemies, there are distortions in organs that look like an enemy. Now, everything's just genetics and everything is just proteins. If the immune system sees a distorted piece on an organ and that organ happens to be distorted for whatever reason, it will attack that organ. But suppressing the immune system, I got to be missing something here, Lee, because that doesn't make sense to me that you would want to suppress.
Can the body that develops an immune system attack its own body?
That's a great question. The autoimmune diseases, the medical model will tell you that an autoimmune disease is caused by a crazy, hyperactive immune system, an immune system that's just nuts. That's not the case. The immune system doesn't go nuts. The immune system is brilliant. What happens is, when we have the wrong kinds of food or toxicity inside the body of some kind, even vaccine toxicity or any kind of intravenous toxicity, we can create distortions in various organs. These toxins can react with proteins, and now you have distortions on the organs. These distortions get read as an enemy, and the immune system attacks these distortions. It's called molecular mimicry. These distortions mimic an enemy. And so the body is actually doing its thing. And we think it's the because this is how silly human beings are, we blame the immune system instead of blaming the distortions. And this underscores a very important paradigm, a polarity in paradigms, and that is the paradigm of the germ theory versus the terrain theory. Have you ever heard of this idea, germ versus terrain? This was a battle that was fought in the late 19th century between two superstars of biochemistry. One, Louis Pasteur, and there's some controversy about what a superstar he really was, and then a guy, Claude Bouchamp. Have you heard this? This great battle?
I haven't heard of the battle, no.
The battle
I've heard of the individuals.
Yes, Bouchamp and Pasteur, two biochemists. Pasteur was actually a beer maker, and he was fascinated with bacteria and with fermentation, and he noticed that there was this thing called bacteria, and he started to relate these bacteria, he called them germs, with diseases. And Bouchamp, who is his rival of sorts, said, no, Louis Pasteur, it's not the germs, it's the terrain. It's the environment that is host to the vector, if you will, that is host to the germs. And this great battle wage was waged, but because the drug companies, the pharmaceutical industry, was just starting to get big in the late 19th century, they loved germ theory because they could figure out a way to come up with something to kill the germ. Terrain theory, we do that on our own. We don't need a drug company for that. So they promoted Pasteur. Pasteur won the battle. But on his deathbed, on Pasteur's deathbed, he said, I was wrong. It was the terrain. He admitted it.
Really?
Famous story, yes.
That's dramatic.
Isn't
we take, we take. Go ahead, Ben.
And to this day, we have this idea that we're attacked by invaders and we have to fight. Everything's an attack and we have to fight it. What we want to do is we want to take care of the environment that we're in. This is why nutrition is so important. This is why everything we talk about is so important, George. It's the terrain. It's the host. It's the soil that the plant is growing in. Nutritional supplementation is like if you're growing plants. If you're a gardener, you know you put stuff in the soil that makes the plants grow. That's what nutritional supplementation is, as well as diet and exercise, all the things we talk about. And I know there's probably some people out there saying, oh, Ben always says nutrition. Ben always says diet. Ben always says the digestive system. Ben always says oxygen and exercise. Well, yes, because that's what you need to do. Those are the basics. Everybody needs to do it, and if everybody does it, no matter what their health challenge is, or even if they're healthy, they will improve.
We have text and tweets for you, Ben. Tom has one back in the L.A. studio. What do you have for us, Tom?
Hey, Ben, this one from Carrie in Alaska. Will eating prunes help me in boosting my immune system?
Yes. For a lot of reasons. First of all, prunes are a great source of vitamin C and minerals like zinc, but they're also great for your digestive system, and we know the immune system lives in the digestive system, and we know having eliminating out of the intestine is one of the most important things you could do to stay healthy. And prunes fit the bill on all the
cherry things. Juice is good for you, too.
Cherry juice has got some very interesting properties. I'm not a big believer in juices and fruit juices because sugar is supposed to come into the body very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do juice a fruit juice, you get a big hit of
you
it.
You get a shot right there.
You get
there.
A shot of it, exactly. But if you're going to do a juice, cherry juice is one of the better ones, that's for sure.
I'm a believer that this planet has remedies for every disease that is on the planet. So here's my question. If the coronavirus is a new virus, this one, COVID-19, does the planet adapt to it and somewhere, someplace, it is going to develop some kind of antidote for it?
Absolutely. There probably already is, George. There probably already is.
The planet probably thought about it before it even happened.
The wisdom of the planet, Gaia, whatever. You know about Gaia.
The Gaia theory.
Yeah,
it's alive. It's an organism.
It's an organism. Earth is an organism, and we are but cells.
I believe that. In order to live on this planet, it's got to be alive.
Yes, and conscious. And this is not just me talking. This is a valid scientific hypothesis, that it's conscious.
Ben, we're going to come back and take final calls with you here. Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. Come on, let's set a record. Go to the website. Look around a little bit. Go back to it later tomorrow. We'll be back. Next hour, everything you wanted to know about the afterlife with Hollister Rand as we talk about the afterlife. I'm looking forward to that. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Our final segment with pharmacist Ben Fuchs, criticalhealthnews.com. That is his website. Toll-free number 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. Ben, what do you think the future holds for us? Are we positive?
I'm always positive, George. I'm always going to be positive. Positivity is part of good health. We were talking earlier. Mental health and physical health and emotional health and spiritual health go hand in hand. SMEP, I call it. Spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, and having a positive attitude. Because, George, we don't really know anything. We have beliefs about things. We don't know anything for sure that's not in our personal experience that we can actually touch and hold. Everything else is a belief system. So pick beliefs that are positive. Pick beliefs that serve you. We need to be able to choose our mindset. First, we need to be able to understand we have a mindset, but then we want to be able to choose our mindset. So, yes, I am positive.
Well, you have to be sure. And there's an email in from Betty who wants to know why carrots are good for the eyes.
Oh, carrots are one of all-time time great veggies, a little bit high in sugar, but they will spruce up anybody's smoothie, and they're great for the eyes because of that orange pigment. Pigments are really interesting, George. Pigments are really electrical energy holders, molecular energy holders. Pigments specifically hold photonic energy, and they spin it around. So the body uses pigments in the eyes to trap energy, and those pigments are found in veggies. It's not just carrots. Carrots have red pigment, and without that red pigment, people suffer from night blindness. But all pigments have an electrical property that's beneficial to the body and to the eyes, for that matter.
Let me give out that number again to call for assistance, 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234, criticalhealthnews.com. Carlos is with us in Carson, California. Hi, Carlos.
Hey, Carlos.
Hi. Good evening. A quick comment and a question for Ben.
Sure.
The Melinda Gates Foundation partnered with the Pertwright Institute out of London and got a patent on the coronavirus in 2014.
You guessed it.
Now, besides that, there's many doctors who are questioning the severity of the virus. And in fact, some of them hint that some of these doctors work in ER. They say they're sort of being influenced to upgrade the death virus stats,
correct,
or to manipulate them.
That's correct.
Now, my own personal belief is that the powers that be created the virus. They're inducing fear in us to control our behavior. Basically, that's what it boils down to.
Carlos, we don't have to buy into it. That's true. I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. I don't know if it's true, but I'm not disagreeing. But we don't have to buy into it, and this is where being a critical thinker, being a scientific thinker with your life is so important. Otherwise, that's the one thing that will doom humanity, is if we operate in this mindless, drone-like fashion and just accept whatever information or data is presented to us.
Do you think it's conceivable that this thing could have been, you know, let loose on us to influence the election and everything else?
I think it's big. No. I think it's way bigger. This is global.
It is a global
thing. Yeah, this is not national. This is planetary.
But it was also done with the intent then of bringing the United States down to its knees.
I can't disagree. I don't know that that's the case, but certainly a compelling case can be made for that.
We have Blair in Sedona, Arizona now. Blair, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Blair.
Thank you very much, George. Well, here's an opportunity, Pharmacist Ben, you talk about, to wean away from beef, pork, red meat.
Yeah.
What's your read on the meat packing plants, outbreaks of virus?
Yeah.
And are there supplements, dietary alternatives when red meat becomes scarce and more expensive?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen the slaughterhouse or you know about the lagoons, the pig lagoons they have in North Carolina. I mean, it's not a pretty business, the slaughterhouse and beef business. It's not a nice business at all. And that might be one of the things that's going to happen, is that we'll shift away from eating those kinds of foods. There is some valued food to meat foods, and now they have test tube meats. There's certain things that you can get from animal foods that you can't get from plants, that's for sure. But there has to be a different way of procuring our meat, and we don't need to eat as much meat. We don't need to eat as much food as we're eating. We are way over-calorized for the amount of physical energy that we're expending. We're getting way too many calories. And we talk about intermittent fasting, and we talk about calorie restriction all the time. The only known way to this day, the only repeatedly known way that's been shown repeatedly to increase lifespan is calorie restriction. And that doesn't include intermittent fasting and the ketogenic diet, which are both related. Just simply reducing your calories. And there will be, it looks like, George, I don't know if you heard this, but it looks like there's going to be a little food issue here.
Well, I was just going to say, Tyson Foods is having problems with its plants. Their chairman of the board is saying that some of the plants are closing, not just because some workers have the coronavirus, but because of a meat shortage and everything else.
Yeah, and there's farmers who are dumping the milk again and plowing under vegetables. And, I mean, there's some serious stuff that's going on with food. But the caller says, is that there might be a bright side to it. Maybe we'll start eating less food. Maybe we'll start ingesting less calories. Maybe we'll start snacking less. Now, there's a lot of places where we can work on the way we ingest our caloric intake that can improve our health dramatically.
absolutely. Next up, let's go to Tracy in Seattle. Welcome to the program. Hi, Trace.
Hi. My question is, could COVID-19 be interacting with a virus already in us, like chickenpox or mumps, and thus be getting some kind of instructions from it, perhaps as to how lethal to be or not to be? I would not negate a second or third virus when there's a mystery like this.
I didn't quite understand that. Are you saying there's another virus in addition to COVID, to this corona?
No, I'm asking, could COVID-19 be interacting with chickenpox or interacting with other
corona
viruses?
Interacting with the herpes virus, the virus that causes chickenpox?
Or anything. Could it interact with any kind of virus?
I don't know. I've never
like
heard
that.
Of that, but perhaps. I don't know that. I've never heard that.
Well, this is a monster. This is a strong one, obviously.
It's not a strong one, George. It's a novel one.
Novel being novel,
right? The body hasn't adjusted to it yet, but it's actually weak relative. In fact, the problem is it's so weak, and that's why people transmit it, is because they're not symptomatic. Their body fights it. It's a very weak virus. But for the people whose immune system is compromised, who are comorbid, who have other health challenges, who are on medication, these are the people who have problems. And by the way, the ventilators that they put people on, have you heard about this?
Now what?
Oh, my God. A ventilator, people hear the word ventilator. A ventilator is one of the most horrific things a human being can undergo, and it should only be used as a very last resort. But people are being put on ventilators as soon as
they go into the hospital.
Not quite as soon, but way before they need to. This is what a ventilator is, George. And by the way, 90% or 75 to 90% of people who have COVID who are on a ventilator die. And it wasn't the ventilator that killed them, it was the COVID. But here's the thing that the ventilator does. Or what they do with the ventilator. They shove a tube down your throat, and because you don't want that tube down your throat, the body doesn't want it, they give you drugs. They give you anti-anxiety drugs, which suppress your immune system. They give you morphine and fentanyl, which suppress the respiratory system, and then they put you in a coma so that you don't thrash about. And the ventilator.
Because the ventilator's on you.
Yes.
You panic.
And then you die, because 75% of people die, and they say, oh, it was the virus. I mean, I'm laughing. It's not funny. It's horrible.
It's tragic.
It's tragic.
Let's go to Aaron in Louisville, Kentucky. Aaron, hi.
Hello, George. Hello, Ben Pukes.
Hey, Aaron.
Just how our host, George Norrie, pointed out about how the media handles, the extreme numbers of regular flu casualties we have each year. I just heard a news story that broke about a funeral home in New York that had casualties all piled up in trucks outside.
In Hertz rent-a-cars.
And I just thought, that is it like a 1-2 punch? Were they really overwhelmed, or does this happen regularly? Is it the corona and the flu combined?
But you want to wait for, before you make any judgments on mortality, you need to wait for total mortality figures for the United States, for the week, for the month, and for the year.
If you can believe them.
If you can even believe them. But right now, the CDC is reporting less mortality, less overall mortality. And they are attributing it to auto accidents and people not going out. But still, it's not more mortality, it's less mortality. So until we know what these people have died of officially, and we've seen it, we've understood how the doctors came up with the diagnosis of death by COVID on the autopsy or on the death certificate, I'm not believing any figures.
It's just the mortality rate has approached the seasonal flu.
Pretty much.
It's a bad bug, but here's the problem. Yeah. And this is, if you've got 60,000 people who die from the seasonal flu, and they say that this year, let's say they say only 40,000 die.
Right.
They don't even know what the numbers are yet.
Right.
Does that mean they took 20,000 from the seasonal flu and put them in the COVID pile?
Your guess is as good as mine, George. There's no way.
That's why it's so confusing.
See, this is the thing, George. We only know what we're told, which is never a good situation.
The only thing we know is this person has died. That's obvious.
That's all. If they die, they die. We don't know what they died of. But here's what we do know, George. We don't know. The data and the numbers that people are telling us, don't even pay attention to that. Here's what we know. Build your immune system. Get on the healthy start.
Right.
Sip on the Beyond.
Take care of yourself.
Yes. Yes, don't fall into fear. Read some good spiritual books. Work on your mind power. Exercise. Breathe. There's so many things we can do.
And live again.
And exactly, and live again. And dance and listen to music and hang out with your family and pet your dog and do all the things that we love to do as human beings.
Nancy in San Jose, California is with us. Hi, Nance. Go ahead.
Thank you. I want to share with the world the placebo medication that I've been taking over 20 years, and it's free. What it's called is meditation is my medication.
Good for you.
That's beautiful. A meditation practice is beyond. In fact, meditation is the best medication. I can't even think.
It's a stress reliever, that's for sure.
It's it's an epigenetic factor, George. It controls your genes. You change your genetics when you meditate. And by the way, you change your genetics when you think certain things, for better or worse. These are what we're talking about here, George, nutrition and exercise and breathing and meditation and spirituality and mind power. They're epigenetic factors. And you're not going to hear this from the drug companies or the medical model. This is what Dr. Wallach's been talking about for years. He makes people angry. He says there's no genetic diseases. And what he means is that even genetic diseases are caused by epigenetic factors. That is, things above or transcendent to genetics. And chief among them is a nutritional supplement program.
Is Doc still traveling the way he travels?
No, Doc. This thing has put a kibosh. You know, nothing could put a kibosh on his traveling, but this thing did.
Let's go to Juan in Fresno, California. Juan, go ahead.
How you doing?
Hey, Juan.
I love the show. Been listening since the days of Art Bell.
Thank you, sir.
And too bad we didn't get to do a celebration for his anniversary this April. Like, probably had it planned, but everything got interrupted.
Well, no, we did a tribute show to him.
Well, I must have missed it. Sorry.
Yeah, on April 13th.
I just wanted to share one quick thing and then ask a question.
Sure.
27 years ago, my daughter, who was almost 14, came down with some kind of a flu, had it for a couple of weeks, delayed going to the doctor, finally walked into emergency at Cedars-Sinai, like Tuesday morning, really early, and by Thursday she was passed away.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry to hear that.
And he just said something that just reminded me of what I thought back then, not knowing as much as I know now, which isn't a whole lot, but I remember thinking, because they put her on the ventilator right away. As soon as she walked in, they said that her one of the lungs was already enveloped in infection. She was breathing on one lung when she walked in. Mm. So they induced the coma, like he said, sedated her. So I never actually got to see her when she was awake.
Oh my God.
She almost came out of sedation once. Mm. But they kept giving her all these different drugs, something to make her retain water, then lose water, then, get rid of the swelling. Anyway, and I just thought at that time they were overwhelming her body with drugs because ultimately on Thursday, 2 days after walking in, she went into cardiac arrest.
Oh my God.
Okay. And they never did give us a full conclusive answer what killed her. Okay.
That's one of those cases, Juan, where hospitals overprescribed and the clock is going to get us now. But our condolences on that very sad, tragic story, Mike. And how many people are going through this right now, Ben? Probably lots.
Lots of people. Bottom line, George, be a critical thinker. Ask questions. Don't just trust information that's spoon-fed for you. And take control of your health. Check out criticalhealthnews.com. Get on the Healthy Start Pack. Start exercising. Change your life. This is an opportunity, a big opportunity. Crisis equals opportunity. The bigger the crisis, the bigger the opportunity.
Absolutely. And if we can help just one person of everybody who's listening to this program tonight, it's worth it. Ben, thanks for being on the program. Always appreciate it. We'll talk to you in 6 weeks. We'll be talking to Doc Wallach in about three. CriticalHealthNews.com is the website. The toll-free number, 1-855-949-7234. Up next, we're going to talk about the afterlife.